we're here with a second call with Allie Alborigo. Are you there, Allie?
I'm here.
All right, Dwayne Brummett here in these school owner talks. We haven't really come up with a name yet, but this is the second one. And great call, last call, Allie. And those of you that have not had an opportunity to be able to listen to that, make sure that you get that call. Some really, really good nuggets in that call for you. So what's been happening with you, Allie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we still haven't figured out a name, so I'm hoping that we could create a little bit of a buzz around that for the show itself. We still don't know whether it's a radio show, a podcast, it's going to be listed on my blog, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm just excited about working and, you know, chatting with you about, you know, just in kind of like in, you know, a relaxed, you know, conversational kind of thing. And the reason why, you know, you and I chat anyway on the telephone and we're like, hey, a lot of stuff we talk about, people would love to hear. Why don't we just start recording what we're chatting about and help out the industry? And that's really why we're doing what we do. And I'm hoping that the people who listen share it with their martial arts school owner friends. And we're able to really create this kind of learning educational system that is just super highly beneficial to, you know, martial art business owners, school owners, and teachers.
Yeah, and you know, I've been wanting to do this for years, and I shared this with you that I, you know, had talked to a guru in our industry about doing something like this, and they said, well, you know, it's not feasible. I mean, really, what's your end goal? Well, my end goal actually was just to, you know, interview and talk to other successful school owners so that, you know, school owners like me could, you know, actually get to learn some things from these individuals. And I was like, you know what, after talking to you on the phone, what we've been talking probably for a good year and a half.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I told you what I wanted to do. And you're like, well, let's just do it. You know, there doesn't have to be an ulterior motive here. Let's just do it. And I'm like, okay. So I really appreciate this because this is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time.
Yeah, and you know what? I think our industry is becoming quite, you know, cautious and pessimistic about, you know, whether people's intentions are there and, you know, like, okay, well, why is this guy telling me information? You know, what is the bottom line? And, of course, I have programs and product launches and things like that that I'd love for people to be on. But ultimately, and this is kind of the reason why I started doing coaching in general, was that I wanted to convert the entire universe of martial artists or people who wanted martial arts into ninjutsu practitioners. Even if they taught taekwondo, I wanted them to teach a little bit of ninjutsu. And, you know, I slowly realized that that wasn't a realistic goal because everyone loved what they did and they weren't interested in what I did in the martial arts sense. But as a business owner, I realized, hey, I could share these concepts and I can help teach people what I have done to succeed, and they could just plug it into their MMA, Taekwondo, traditional Shotokan, you know, Jeet Kune Do school, and benefit the world. So then I'm like, I had that aha moment. You know, I'm like, wow, I'm going to be able to help the planet, and I'm going to be able to help people through the vessel of martial arts, but I might not be the one teaching those lessons. But if I help school owners succeed and they could reach more people and change lives, I, in turn, will have impacted the world by, you know, changing their schools and changing their lives in the martial arts. So I've kind of, in a ninja-like way, accomplished the same kind of thing. And that's why I do what I do. So being on these phone calls, it's just a great way for me to share and be able to help and really be able to, you know, improve the world in general.
Yeah, and you know what's nice about our world today is now, I mean, this will be digitized. This will forever, you know, if we put it into, let's say we put it into a podcast or whatever, I mean, that will forever be there. So school owners, even when we're gone, school owners down the road could actually listen to these and have access to, you know, incredible information that they can use to lift their school up and bring it to the next level and all of that. So I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, it's interesting. I have a good friend. I mentioned him on our last call. His name is John Oschlager. He runs Nakato Schools of Self-Defense. He's a retired school teacher, 35 years on the job. He owns 3 dojos, and he has been teaching. I think this year will be his 35th martial art anniversary. He's been married to the same woman for over 45 years. He's in his 60s, and he's still training. I mean, the guy makes me look lazy. And, you know, him and I have been getting together every Thursday. I mean, almost realistically every single Thursday for the last 20-some-odd-plus years. And we actually will text each other Tuesday night. Are we meeting Thursday? Because I really need counseling, you know. And we sit down and we just, you know, we start off our calls with, I can't believe Mrs. Smith said this, and I can't believe this mom wanted that. And, oh, let me tell you about that staff member, and this black belt quit and opened up his, you know, we go through all of this stuff and we counsel each other, and then we slowly progress into what we're doing in marketing, and then we slowly progress into what movies we've watched, and then we just become people and hang out and chat about, you know, whatever, you know, and that kind of stuff is so important. And I've literally, we've been sharing each other's, you know, lives for that long, and it's totally something that's needed, absolutely needed in you know, in our industry. So I highly, and that's what we kind of do on the telephone together too, except we've been doing for a lot less time, and we chat and we see what's going on and what works and what doesn't, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I, like I said, I'm excited that school owners are going to be able to get this information and put it into practice. You know, I can remember one of the big shifts for me with regards to the industry really came not even, you know, monetarily or physically or anything. It was actually more of, I guess you would say, like a perspective change. And I don't remember what I was reading or who I, maybe I was listening to somebody, I don't know. But something gave me the idea to actually take a look at my gross income and for the year, and then go, okay, you know, I'm as a school owner, I'm, you know, at that time I was grossing, I think it was like $200,000 a year. And I go, okay, I'm worth $200,000 a year. And I know it's gross, it's not net. But I was really psychologically trying to get myself to really believe that I, you know, I've got something here, and this can be even better. And it was just a whole mindset shift for me, which I found was totally important. I know we kind of touched on the mindset last time on the call when we were talking about getting our, basically getting our head in the game type thing. But I think that's huge for school owners, because I, for years, I just kept digging myself a hole, I would call it, because I would try this and I'd try that and half-heartedly do it, wouldn't believe it, or didn't believe that it could happen, and so therefore I didn't try it. And what do you say to, because you, I mean, we do one-on-one coaching, but I mean, you do a lot more one-on-one coaching than I do. And
Well, you know, I can answer your question. You don't even have to finish that sentence. I mean, it's interesting. I've been coaching now for like 10 years. And I have clients that I've had that I coach for, and I mean, some of them have been with me for 5 years. Every single week, we're on the phone for 40 minutes every single week for 5 years. I mean, I've spoken to these people more than they've probably spoken to some of their family members, you know. And, you know, we spend quality time, and, you know, we talk about, and some of them, it's crazy. Some of them are in other countries, and we haven't even physically met face-to-face, or maybe once met and haven't seen each other physically other than Skype or something like that. So, but anyway, so, you know, it's interesting. I believe, and it goes back to understanding your worth, but really truly believing it. For example, I was at the Member Solutions Boot Camp, and I spoke on a panel. And one of the questions that they ask, because people in the audience grab a mic and they're like, hey, you know, I have a question on blah, blah, blah. And the one question was, what do I do when I want to raise my prices? And I listened to all the other panelists, and they had good information, you know, let them know ahead of time, and, you know, make sure that everyone is aware, give them a piece of paper, you know, whatever it was. And I said, raise your prices. And they're like, well, what do you do? I go, well, when people come in and the new prices, and they have to renew their membership, you say, these are the new prices. And they said, well, you know, that's going to shock people and be upsetting. And, you know, maybe I could give them an extra class or give them an extra uniform. And I'm like, listen, everything in the world goes up in value. I mean, I was just talking about this with a friend of mine last night. And, you know, we pay like $4, $3.89, whatever the going rate in your state is for gas. And we complain all day long for a gallon of gas. And rightfully so, it could be a lot cheaper, depending on how the government sets it up. But we pay, without a question, $1.50 for a small little bottle of water. And now why is that not upsetting to people? This is water, which is a natural resource that you could just open up a spigot, and we're paying $1.50 without any hesitation, but we'll complain all day about gasoline. So it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? And, you know, this is why we have to understand, like, what is our net worth? Like, and if, and in the last call and other times in our conversations, I talk about what we literally do for people in the martial arts. We incredibly change lives, where people literally will go from one aspect of their lives to a whole nother aspect and say it's due to the martial arts. And to me, that is just so powerful. So what do we put on that value system? What is it?
Well, you can't.
And
what's funny, I think, it too, is, you know, and I don't know why I didn't realize this, you know, martial arts in and of itself changed my life. I mean,
right.
Dramatically. And I would venture to say that almost every single school owner that is a school owner, it has changed their life. Yes, we somehow skip over that. And I know you and I have talked about this before. We have this, you know, we think, we have this humbling mentality. I like what Zig Ziglar says, you know, humility just means that you, what did he say? Humility means that you think, humility doesn't mean that you think less of yourself. You just think of yourself less.
Right. Or humility is us kind of at times pretending that we don't want to say what we feel because we're afraid people may think else, you know, other things about us.
Yeah.
So I believe we're fearful at times when, people will say you're either confident or cocky. You know, if you're too, the way you show your confidence sometimes to people appears to be cocky. Well, for me, I know what I'm capable of physically, mentally, spiritually. And I have no problem letting people know that, but in a nice way where I'm not offending others. And people see that as a confidence. Like, you wouldn't want to go in and meet with a doctor to have surgery and him going like, I don't know, you know, I think I could do a good job. I think I could get the tumor out. You know, I hope that everything is going to go well. You know, you want a guy who's going to go, yeah, I've done this 1,000 times. I'm all set. Don't even think about it. Don't worry about it. We're all good. You know, so, and that's why people pay. They, your life is in their hands. Well, what's interesting is how parents will put their kids in our school and ask us to change their lives, literally. And then, not be willing to trust in us, you know, 100% so that we could really make a difference in their lives or question us every step of the way.
Yeah, a little drill with my staff before, and I had them in the staff meeting write down the things that why they felt martial arts had benefited them, and the benefits that they got from it. And they went through that and wrote it down, and then we went around the table and everybody sharing the things that, you know, the martial arts has given them. And, you know, I just asked them, I said, you know, now what I want you to do is I want you to really think about this very, very carefully. I want you to come up with how much money you would pay per month to have all of those qualities.
Right.
And so the reason I did that with them was because, and this was already when my mindset had already shifted, but I needed my staff to be on board with it,
right?
Because just because I was doesn't mean that they're going to teach we're worth $200 a month. You know what I'm saying? So
right, of course.
I had them go through that and they came up with their prices, and we talked about why do you think that price, and we kind of talked back and forth, and nobody was berated. You know, if somebody were to say $50 a month, nobody was berated, but we just asked why.
Right, right.
And it was an awesome exercise. It really, really helped to change the way that they saw what they were doing, because they saw, you know, personally what the martial arts had did for them. And it's so important for us to do that with our staff. I think it's so important for us to do that with our clients, with our students, so that they're reintroduced to the benefits over and over again. It's important for us to do that so that, you know, we don't take it for granted, because how many times do we take this, you know, the martial arts and what we're doing here for granted?
Well, here's the thing, and a guy, I forget what it was, but I was at one of those seminars, and one of the guys said, like, you know, and it was a martial arts seminar, like, what would a parent pay if they could go back in time, like almost like the Christmas story, and look back and correct all the things that had gone wrong, if they could just know ahead of time, what would it be? What would they pay to have their kid not do drugs or not get into a fist fight or learn how to defend themselves so, you know, they didn't die or get hurt or turn to bad things? Like, what would it be worth to people? And, you know, quite often we have to be proactive and preemptive, you know, ahead of time, rather than the society we live in is interesting. They live on what, like, they want to correct the problem after it happens. They hear about it, but it's not in their head enough that, okay, this could possibly happen. Like, for example, if you don't change the oil on your car, it could ruin your engine. And people are like, okay, the oil light's going off, and they're ignoring it. You know, then the engine blows, and they're like, oh, damn, I should have changed that oil. You know, that they're not doing that. I used to sell two types of teas in my school, all different flavors of these different teas. One was a curative tea for when people got sick, had headaches, and all that other stuff. The other one was a preventative tea. Well, you know what sold the most? The curative tea. And I'm like, if you would have just bought preventative tea, you wouldn't have these issues. You wouldn't have gotten sick. You wouldn't have had the allergy. You wouldn't have had the headaches. Or you would have lost that weight or whatever the case may be, but hardly sold any preventative teas. So that's the kind of society we're always putting a Band-Aid on things and trying to fix things after. And that goes for school owners too. Sometimes that old saying is true. You don't have enough month at the end of your money. And people will go like, I didn't do well on the Christmas sale. And then I'll say, well, what did you do? Well, I didn't really get around to putting that flyer out like you told me. Or I didn't really get around to doing the sale like you said. And, you know, they're not steering the ship and looking at the horizon. They're hitting the horizon and going, holy crap, we're in a whole heap of trouble because there's rocks all around us and we're going to sink. You know, they're not looking ahead to be able to project and see what possibly could happen in the future. And this is where we need to correct these things as business owners. We need to steer the ship and be able to know ahead of time what we're doing.
Yeah, and you can't even, you know, again, you can't do that if you really don't believe in yourself.
Right.
You just can't.
Yeah, like Brian Tracy, and I said this in our last call, you know, he had often said that people's expectations of what they could do, what they're worth, what they can afford, what they can make is normally what levels off where they're at financially. So in other words, they say, I believe that I could sell $50,000 a year on, you know, website sales. And they go, okay, that's – and then they go out and they hit that goal. Then they may push the envelope ever so slightly and go, I think I can make, you know, $65,000, and then they do it. He says quite often we put our expectations of what we believe and they become limitations. So in other words, have you ever heard people say, like, you know, and I remember I was very lucky as a kid that anything that I wanted to do, my parents said, let's do it. They never said, don't quit your day job or that's not a realistic thing. Like I said, oh, I want to ride horses. They're like, okay. And they went out. I did not by any means come from a wealthy family. My father made pennies as a police officer at the time. My mom, she was a seamstress sewing bathing suits. And I wanted a horse. They bought me a horse. I rode horses. I wanted to race motorcycles. My dad bought me a motorcycle, and I raced in the Houston Astrodome and Mount, you know, Bridgehampton out east and up in Mount Cathalia in New York. And, you know, I raced for Team Suzuki, you know, and then I was in a band. My dad bought me equipment, put me in the garage, made it into a studio, and I literally played and opened up for almost every heavy metal 80s band that was out. I had two albums, a short video on MTV, and I owe it all to that mentality where my parents never questioned. They basically said, great idea, let's do it. Let's move right on it. Let's start building. And they never questioned it. And I have this mentality still to this day. If I want to do it, I just do it. I want to open up a company, bam, I open it up. I want to start a new product line, and bam, I open it up. I never second-guessed anything. And that's where people in school owners, they're always self-doubt. They're unsure. They're fearful. Now, I'm not saying run out there and just, you know, blaze a trail and then go out of business and spend all your money and waste it. I'm saying, though, don't be afraid to reach for the sky.
Yeah. And that you're right. It definitely starts young. But if you don't have an upbringing like that, you can change your mindset. You know, I read a book by T.R. Vetter, and there – and not everything do I agree with him, but that's okay. And there's great nuggets in there, but it's about your money blueprint. And
oh, yeah?
Talking about, and about how your money blueprint is shaped when you're younger and how to break that mold of the money blueprint. And it's amazing. It's a really, really good book.
Great. Well, that's interesting. So what's the name of the book, The Money Blueprint? It's by who?
T. Harv Eker.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it's
Well, right, you and I. But that's so all the listeners out there, this is our recommended book of the call. So go out there and read it. And it's interesting, you know, I try to, and I haven't done it in quite some time, but if you go to my personal website, alialberigo.com, you know, last name is spelled ALBERIGO.com, I have, like, from my early days on in my career, every year I'd read 20, my goal was to read 30, 40 books, and I'd keep track of every book because it was kind of like my, if I didn't achieve that goal, I felt like I shortchanged myself. So I would read the book, I'd rate the book, and it's all on my website, on that website for the like 7-8 years in a row. And you can, I kind of almost see a shift in my mindset. Like 1 year was all business, the next year was self-motivation, the next year was spirituality, the next year was, you know, whatever, you know. And you can kind of see where and how my career would get, you know, real estate investment and how the bulk of books, what, you know, what, not the G-I-G-O garbage in, garbage out. It was more like high quality in and high quality out, because whatever I was reading was shaping my destiny. And, you know, that's where books are incredible, videos, programs, and systems, and so on. So, yeah, that's a great book. So, guys, read that book and tell us what you think about it. So Dwayne, we're kind of, you know, we're running almost short on time. We want to try to keep these calls to a 20-minute kind of thing so people could listen really quick, get inspired, learn little tidbits of information. So you like to call it those nuggets, those gold nuggets. So do you have any last thoughts of what we could give to people, what you think might be a cool homework assignment or something they should focus on? And then I'll pick one and we'll leave it with that.
Yeah, I think if you've never thought about your program and what it's actually worth, and then compare that to what you're charging, and if there is a big discrepancy, meaning you're charging a lot lower than what you believe it's worth now after listening to this call, that you really need to stand in front of the mirror and start, you know, telling yourself exactly what it's worth. And yes, Mrs. Jones, our program is $199. And when she says, well, that's a lot of money, you repeat back, yes, it is.
Well, you know what, you're located in Illinois, right?
Chicago. I am 60 miles south of Chicago. It's a tri-city area, medium income. It's not, you know, nothing huge. And, but we, I mean, I'm the highest priced studio in town. Everybody, and I've had people like two or three times more than others in this town. I say, yes, I do.
Right. Yeah. So tell everybody, if it's okay with you, what you charge as your base price, because I know you were way up there. So, I mean, so to just give people an idea of what you're doing.
Yeah, what we do is, well, we have tiers, but what we do is it's $199 a month, but if they sign up before the trial, and which is a two-week trial, then we reduce the rate to $169 a month, and it's a one-year contract for that $169 a month. Within that 1 year, they're going through the process of upgrading to the leadership program, which is another $20 a month, so from $169 to $189 a month, so that's how the basic upgrades go.
Right, so your basic price tuition is how much?
$169. I mean, we tell everybody it's $199, which I'd be happy to charge them, $199. But if they sign it before the 2 weeks is over, it's $169 a month.
Yeah. So basically, bottom line is that it's literally $169 a month. I mean, whatever their deposit or whenever they get. But here's the thing, that for those of you that are listening out there, understand that it's not like Dwayne is in, and it really doesn't matter, but like, let's pretend that they're in a very wealthy area living on an island with all millionaires. It's a general, you know, like you said, the average income was about, what, 50, 60,000 household income, you said, or?
Yeah.
Around. So, I mean, you know, even if it were 80,000, you know, it doesn't really matter, or 40,000, you're getting $169 per month, where other people I coach are whining and complaining that they can't get people to pay $70, $80 a month. But, of course, when I coach them and they start realizing, and it's kind of funny, I coach one of my Aikido schools that I coach, and when I first got them to push the envelope and got them to raise his price, he went from like $80 a month, and I'm like, you know, you could charge $130. I don't know, he's saying, he's hemming and hawing over that. And then when he finally did the first three sales, he closed the people and they signed up, and he goes, I kind of feel naughty, like I did something wrong. I'm like, well, it's because you haven't realized your net value yet, but at the same time, this is what people will pay for a service of your type. And now all day long, he's selling programs at $130. So, like, it's literally one person he signs up now is almost double the cost of two people. You know, it was what two people were paying him. So, I mean, he's got what, which is my threefold philosophy, low stress, high quality, low stress, and high profit. And that's my motto, the taking it to the next level model, you know. So we want to get people to really understand that. But so if you're listening out there, this is a gem that, you know, Dwayne's saying that, you know, believe in who you are, believe in your value and your net worth, and you could charge money like that, you know, $169 all day long, or at least, you know, on industry standard, I believe is about $120 to $140 per month around the United States, even across and abroad, across the, you know, the seas to, you know, England and Australia and Ireland and Scotland. There, you could charge that amount. So, I mean, that's the closing thing right there, and that's really what everybody's listening to. I hope you guys really – do you have anything else to add, Dwayne, or?
No, but I certainly did not start out that way. I was definitely at $50 a month, and it took me to believe in it, you know. And like your Aikido friend, you know, I mean, he had three people to sign up at 130 or 139, whatever it was. And, you know, listen, if you get people that are just signing up and they're not balking at the price, then the price needs to go higher.
Well, that's the thing that's funny that I told them that. I said, you know, and if people do tell you, and this is why I get people to raise their prices. I'm like, you know, and dramatically. I also did it with a Jiu-Jitsu, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu school out of Kentucky, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu of Kentucky, Donna and Scott Smith. And, you know, we were low end on the price. I mean, kids were like in the $60, $70 range. I'm going off the top of my memory. Martial arts for adults was like 80 or 90. And we went up to 130 and 150. She's still kind of a little doubtful, though, and she's kind of, you know, kind of sells people a little lower than what she should. She gives some deals here and there. But no doubt, lo and behold, she's way higher than she ever was. And they're making a lot more money. And really, honestly, that's what it's all about. It's all about us understanding what we're worth, and then people are doing it. So we have to trust in ourselves. And I'm not saying, okay, go out there and charge $400 a month, because you'll find easily what people will pay. You'll see they'll say, ah, that's way too expensive, and you won't sign them up. The good thing is you could test the waters by seeing how much you could push the envelope, and then if you do it enough and people don't balk, like you said, Dwayne, you know that you should have been charging that all along. It's kind of like all, you know, tides rise that way.
Yeah, it's so important to catch that. But your confidence has to be there. You know, I have no problem when somebody says to me, you're $169 a month?
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not a jerk when I say yes. I'm just like, yes, what would you think it would be? You know, and the other thing is, too, and we're not talking about this, and maybe we need to talk about this on another call because I don't want to make this too long, but let me just say this. It's all the work that you did prior to telling the price. Like, I hate telling the price immediately. You got to be really, really good on the phone so that they don't get the price on the phone. And then when they come in, your material, your presentation with regards to your consultation or however you're doing it, they need to read that or listen to it and go, like, so for instance, I had a phone call on Monday last week. Lady
right.
really was pushing the envelope, wanted the price, so I got on the phone.
Right.
And I explained the program to her. I took, you know, a good 10 minutes to explain it, everything that's involved with it. But long story short, when I told her the $199 price, she gets it for $169 if she signs up by, you know, X. And she's like, ooh, she was like, I would think it was going to be a lot more than that. That's good.
Right, right. It was actually the opposite, where you might have thought she would have said, like, oh, my goodness, you know, I think that, you know, you are going to be in the $300 range. And then you're like, damn, I should have pushed for the $300 a month, right?
Because yeah, and I've had that on occasion. But, you know, and those are few and far between. But I just say that because I want people to understand that if it's not just raising your price, although that's you need to, especially if you're just raising it to the standard that everybody else is in the industry. But when you start going over, especially when you're two or three times more than everybody else in your town, now, again, I don't base my prices on what everybody else is doing in my town. I base my prices on what I want to make. And I hate saying that, too, because we've talked about this before, and I always qualify these statements. It's not that I don't want to help everybody I can. The problem is I know now I can't help everybody.
Right. Right.
I will help as many people as I possibly can, but I cannot help everybody. I don't, you know.
Yeah, and you know what, that, by the way, there's two real gems that you said in there. Number one is that you base your prices based on what you believe your value to be and what you want to make financially. And two, you can't appeal to everybody. You have to, if your goal is to be the cheapest martial arts school in town, and that's nothing wrong with that, and you don't want to make a living out of your school, you don't have to. Hey, maybe you're a millionaire and you're a trust fund baby, who knows, right? And you just want to help people, that's awesome. And then do your prices and charge whatever you want. I can say, though, that people believe stuff that's free or less expensive is lesser quality these days, and that's a true statement all around the board. You know, why else would women pay $2,000 for a stupid pocketbook by whatever manufacturer or designer? I mean, it's still the same leather, same square footage, same weight, you know, that you could put in it. But it's about what they believe that quality, that status to be. And by the way, we should probably do another call and you know, about branding and how people yeah. should brand their schools, because that's what creates that quality, what people will, you know, then look at and say, hey, I would spend that much because I want the brand.
Right? Well, so, and we're going to have time, you know, we're going to be able to talk about a whole mess of subjects. And if you're listening to this and you have a topic too that you are interested in and you'd like to, us to expound upon, you know, feel free. You can, it'd probably be better if you email Allie. Allie, you want to give your email address?
Yeah, absolutely. Either email you or I, but you can email me at Shihan, Shihan, at lininja.com, Shihan at lininja.com. And by the way, we want to know topics that you'd love to talk about. We'd also love to know people you would love to have interviewed, people you'd like to hear from in our industry that are highly successful. I'm almost going to guarantee you that I'm going to get my good buddy who owns Expedited World Cargo to do a call with us. He's a shipping, tycoon, and he actually has his business. I think he just acquired another business, so his company's probably worth about $100 million right now. I also will be trying to interview, and I think it should be no problem, is my student and good friend is JD from Sarantacos, from Chris Angel's new show Believe, and he's the brother of Chris Angel, and he's actually a business genius behind a lot of what Chris does in merchandising and marketing and running the stores and, you know, branding. In fact, I've sat with him over dinner numerous times, and he's said, Allie, you need to he calls me Shihan, you need to fix this part of the story. So he said to me, he goes, what you do inside that room is unbelievable. He says, but outside it doesn't quite show me that. You know, and he'd say, put this here, change that color there, put lighting there, get your logo up and your brand up, and it's just some crazy cool knowledge. And then I want to talk to guys that are super martial art, incredible martial artists like Ernie Reyes Jr. and Kung Lee. These guys are all friends of mine. We're going to have them on calls with us, and we'll do some really cool interviews with them.
Yeah, I'm excited. So, Allie, we're kind of going over on time. Let's go ahead and cut this one, and you know, we'll pick it up on the next call.
Awesome. Hey, everybody, take care. Thanks for listening. Check us out. Share with us. Share other people. You know, share with us with other people our show, and you know, help us with the name. And you know, I'd love to have you guys as regular listeners. Thanks for being here.